So we're going to learn Daf Nun Zayin in Masechtas Ksubos. We are going to start from the seventh line, from the top. I believe that's where we go. Oh no, actually I take that back. We're going to start from the bottom on Nun Vav Amud Beis, is where we left off last time. Okay, the Gemara beforehand was talking about... Right. We're talking about whether or not you can accept less than 200 zuz on the ksuba or not. That was the sugya that we're talking about. But we said essentially that you have to, the last thing that we said was, in order to be meichel, the 200 zuz, you have to know ahead of time that you're being meichel. If that's the shita that you hold. There's a machlokes in the Mishnah, really, whether or not you can arrange for anything less than 200 zuz or not. But even if you could arrange for less than 200 zuz, the wife has to understand and know what she's being meichel. So we're going to start from the bottom line on Nun Vav Amaveis. The Gemara starts in the middle of the line. Achdei de Rami Bar Chomo have an esiva l'Rav Avoyim. The sister of Rami Bar Chomo was married to Rav Avoyim. Okay, now on the top of the Nzayin Amud Aleph, Irchus Ksubasa. The relevant point over here is that she lost her ksuba. So now losing your ksuba is essentially the same thing as not having a ksuba that is worth 200 zuz, because she doesn't have a way to be toiveya. Also, the came to Rabbi Yosef, so they came to Rabbi Yosef. So Amar Lahu, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yosef told them, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Zu Divrei Meir. This concept that you must have a ksuba worth 200 zuz at all times is only Shitas Rav Meir. Aba Chachamim Omer, but the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Masha Adam Es Ishtay Shtayim Eshal Eshanim Beloy Ksuba, that a person could be with his wife even 2 or 3 years without a ksuba. It's not a problem. So therefore, don't worry about the fact that you lost your ksuba. Amar Lei Abaya. So Abaya then turned to Rabbi Yosef, who interestingly was his Rebbe, and he said, "Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Meir b'Gzeir Yosef." But we do paskin like Rav Meir when it comes to his gzeiros, which Rashi explains when he's gozer in a din of iser, when he makes a rule to protect the Torah in a din of iser. We paskin like Rav Meir, which means if we paskin like Rav Meir, then we should be concerned about the fact that she did not have a ksuba of a full 200. So he said, "Ihachi, if that's the way you want to be, if you want to paskin like Rav Meir, zil kosev lo, then you have to immediately write her a ksuba." So it comes out, according to this line in the Gemara, that a person must have at all times must have a ksuba with his wife. He cannot be married without a ksuba. And if you follow like Rav Meir Shita, this is a machlekes in the poskim, exactly how we follow whether that ksuba has to be 200 at all times and so on and so forth. But if you follow straight Rav Meir Shita, A, you have to have a ksuba, and B, that ksuba has to be worth 200. Of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but that is definitely the general rule, unless you get into an exception. Now the Gemara continues and says as follows. Ki also Rav Dimi. Okay, so there's a lot of names that we have to remember who says what, so let's try to keep it organized. So Rav Dimi comes and says like this. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So first, Rav Shimon ben Pazi is quoting Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kafra. So again, the name that you have to remember over here, because he's the key factor over here, is Rav Yeshua ben Levi, said in the name of Rav bar Kafra, Machloikis b'tchilo, they argue in the beginning. Now, this Machloikis that we're talking about goes back to our Mishnah. About our Mishnah says that if you're going to reduce it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that you could reduce the ksuba, it has to be in writing. What does that imply? That implies that if it's not in writing, it doesn't work. It would be considered a tanai, and as a tanai, that tanai is not something either because it's a din d'araisa that doesn't work, or even if it's a d'rabbanan chizik, asur chizik l'divrayim, for whatever reason, if it's just a tanai, it's not going to work to reduce the ksuba to less than 200. Okay, now this whole machlokes, again, this machlokes that we're talking about is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, in whether or not you could verbally accept less than 200 zuz. So even within the concept, again, put aside Rav Meir Shita that you have to have 200 zuz. Even within the opinions that say you could have less than 200 zuz, so machloikis whether it has to be in writing, whether a tanai would work or not. So this machloikis, when exactly does this machloikis take place? That's what we're explaining right now. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says machloikis betchilo. This machloikis is only in the beginning. We'll talk up front. We'll talk about the Gemara is going to define what betchila means. Up front, that's where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue whether a tanai would work. Aval besoif divrei akol eina meichelis. But at the end, further into the marriage, whatever end means, everybody agrees that she can't. She certainly can't be meichel, and it would have to be in writing at best. That's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan simply says, Ben Bezu, Machlekes. No, they argue in all situations, whether it's beginning or end. Okay, now we're going to have to explain what beginning and end means. So, first part of this is, Amar Rav Avua, Lididi Mefarsha Liminei de Rabbi Yochanan. So, remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan who says that they argue in all situations. And Rav Avua says, Rabbi Yochanan explained to me that we're actually not arguing, even though it sounds like it's a very straightforward machlokes whether they argue there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether there is a machlokes at the end. We actually don't argue because it depends on how you define beginning and end. How is that? What did Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi mean when he said in the beginning it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, rather. When did he mean begin? Tchilas chuppa. Means in the beginning, when they're literally, beginning means in the beginning before they actually get married. Tchilas chuppa is the beginning of the chuppa. As they're getting married, let's view it as they're writing the ksuba initially. So that's when we say, do you have to do it in writing or not? Okay, I understand that. Umay soif. Here's where it gets tricky. Umay soif. And what does it mean at the end that Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says, everybody admits she can't be machlokes. What does end mean? Soif bia. That means all the way at the end, when they consummated the marriage, they are fully 100% married. At that point, you can't start turning around and saying, oh, and by the way, even though we wrote a ksuba earlier, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean a ksuba. I didn't really mean the full thing. At that point, it's too little too late. You cannot reduce the ksuba anymore. Okay, fine. If that's... that could be the way Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi made his statement. Now, how would Rabbi Yochanan, who says they argue in all situations, fit into that statement in a way that he's not arguing? Oh, v'chika, amina, ano, and when did I, this is Rabbi Yochanan talking, when did I say, ben bezu, machlekes, that they argue in all situations? So, tchilas chupa, so again, beginning is tchilas chupa. That's easy to understand because that's exactly the same thing. Everybody agrees that that's where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue. The soif chupa, but the end I meant bezu with soif chupa means dehi tchilas bia. That's before they did bia. So in other words, it's still during the chupa process, which has not consummated the marriage. Now, without getting into too much detail, and to get, I don't want to bring in more. Information that we need here, but we should be aware of the fact that the definition of chuppah is a machlokes in the Gemara, and a machlokes in the Rishonim, a machlokes in the Poskim, what chuppah actually means. We of course use the word chuppah for standing under the canopy, but that's not really in halacha. When we said they had chuppah and therefore they are nisuin, they are married, that is not clear according to the Rishonim, according to the Gemara, what exactly the chuppah is, because it could mean the canopy as we do, it could mean the yichud, it could mean the bia, it could mean a lot of different things. So therefore, again, without getting into that detail, because we're not discussing the machlokes of chuppah right now, but just to be aware that the definition of chuppah is not so simple, that's why he's able to say the soif means soif chuppah dehitchilas bia, which is before the bia happens. Chilas bia over here doesn't literally mean the beginning of bia. It means before the bia. It's after they stood under the, let's say, the canopy, but before there was actually bia, or before there was yichud, whatever you want to say. But the point is that it's before they consummated the marriage. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Yochanan said that they could still argue that there's an opinion that says that I could still make a tanai in the ksuba, because they haven't gotten to the end yet. But everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would agree, that once they have the bia and everything is done and sealed and finished and everything, So then everybody agrees that at that point you can't be moichel. Okay, so in that way it comes out that Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue. It's just a question of definition. They all agree that there's the machloikas in the beginning. It would come out according to this pshat. They all agree that there's a machloike that they can still argue in the middle of the chuppah. Let's call, because his definition of chuppah is soif chuppah. His definition of soif is soif chuppah tchilas bi, which is the middle of the situation. They all agree that they are still arguing in the middle, and they all also agree at the end it's too little, too late. So there's no machlekes whatsoever between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So far this is all according to the way Rav Dimi explains this, falls out according to the way Rav Dimi and or Rav Avuah said. Rav Avuah made a statement that it's really not a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, for this purpose, as we'll see in a moment, they're Amaroyim. So they're not arguing. They agree in when the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argue that it's okay to reduce the ksuba. Now this is all in Rav Dimi. Comes along a slightly different version of the Gemara, he also Rabin. So now Rabin, who is going to be different than Rav Dimi, says, Omar, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, notice he's also quoting Rav Shimon ben Pazi, and he says like this, Omar Rav Shimon ben Levi Mishum Bar Kafra. So Rav Shimon ben Levi said, Machloikis Libesoif. This is very different than, this is like the opposite of what we said before. Machloikis Libesoif. They only argue again, they is Rav Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not going to say that every time. I'm just going to say they. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argue basoif. Obviously, we'll define that. Avo betchilo divrei hakol moicheles. Now we're saying even further. We're saying in the beginning, she definitely agrees. Meaning, you don't even have to write it down. Everybody agrees. You can certainly ask her to negotiate, and if she agrees, she agrees. Fine. But now, so this is exactly the opposite. Until now we've been saying the besoif, everybody agrees it's too late. Now we're saying everybody agrees in the beginning, she for sure could reduce the ksuba. Okay. That would be according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And similarly to the Gemara before, Rabbi Yochanan Amar ben bezu machlekes. No, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they always argue. It's never a given that she could be meichel. You always have to see whether or not she wants it in writing. Okay. Comes along the same similar statement. Amar Rav Avuah, l'di'im efarshili minei de Rabbi Yochanan. Once again, I heard directly from Rabbi Yochanan, da'anov Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi loy palginon, we don't argue. Oh, so now how are we going to figure this one out? Because now they're saying just the opposite, and they're still not arguing. Soif to Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said besoif? That's where they argue. Chuppah. That means during the chuppah. So the chuppah, once they're under the chuppah, that's where they can still negotiate. Umay tchila, tchilas chuppah. Sorry, I skipped a word. My libsoif to Amar Rabbi Yeshua, soif chuppah. I skipped the word soif. It means soif chuppah. Soif chuppah, they could still argue. Which, by the way, is the same as we said before. We also said in the previous Gemara, we also said soif chuppah, which was tchilas biya. Here the Gemara doesn't add on the word tchilas biya, but it's the same soif chuppah. Everybody agrees that they argue. The only difference is here, my tchila, tchilas chuppah. And when do we say that there is no machlekes, there's no machlekes in tchilas chuppah? Okay, there's no machlekes. That means before you get started, you could, at the beginning of the chuppah, you could still negotiate, and she will certainly be moichel. So that's why, and when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when Rabbi Yochanan says ben bezu machlekes, he means that the soif chuppah, no, tchilas chuppah and soif chuppah. Okay, I jumped ahead. V'chi kamina ano ben bezu machlokes. Oh, and when did I say that this is a machlokes? How do I make it so that we're not arguing? Tchilas bia, v'soif bia. What I said is the beginning of bia and the end of bia. Now, the beginning of bia really is the same thing as soif chuppah. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi already said soif chuppah, they're still a machlokes. They still argue. But soif bia, this is already a new thing. Soif bia, he's still saying there's a machlokes soif bia. There's even a possibility, even after everything is done, that they could still go back and continue to negotiate. This is a new one. Because according to Rav Dimi, the soif bia, we said everybody agrees it's too late. It's too late. She's not meichel. And here we're saying, no, it's still a machlekes even besoif bia. So clearly Rav Dimi and Rav Avuah and Rav Dimi and I lost the place over here. Rav Dimi
and Rabin,
right? That's what I was looking for. And Rabin argue on the Soif Biya case. They also argue on the Tchilas case, because in the beginning, when we start the chuppah, because according to Rav Dimi, the beginning of the chuppah is where everybody agrees that it's a machlokes, and according to Rabin, the beginning of the chuppah, where before they get started, everybody agrees that she certainly is meichel, and you don't even need to write it down. Okay, fine, but that's that comes out all because Rav Avua said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue, so we have to manipulate what the word tchila and the word soif mean, but in a way that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the key over here is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue. So comes along Rav Papa to round out this Gemara, and he says, "Amar Rav Papa, ilav de Amar Rav Avua l'didim mefarshel aminei de Rabbi Yochanan. If not for the fact that we have a statement from Rav Avua that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan, da anov Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi loy palginon, that he, meaning himself, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi don't argue ahadadi on each other, hava mino, I would have thought, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pligi, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are the ones that are arguing, and Rav Dimi v'Rabin loy pligi, and Rav Dimi and Rabin are the ones that are not arguing, and they're just quoting different parts of the machlokes. And my soif, the Ka'amar Rabin, because there's an easy way to work this out, that both Rabin and Rav Dimi are talking about different things, and there's no machlokes at all. How is that? Soif the Ka'amar Rabin, soif chupo. Again, Rabin's talking about Soif Chuppah, because remember, Rabin's shita was that they always argue. And Soif Chuppah is when they argue. My Tchila, Kama Rabbi Dimi, Tchilas Bia. And also Rabbi Dimi, when he says Tchila, because remember, Rabbi Dimi says that they argue also in the Tchila, is talking about Tchilas Bia. And therefore, the Soif Chuppah and the Tchilas Bia, which we already mentioned earlier, is the same thing. So they all, so to speak, meet in the middle. And we would say, Soif, there is a beginning of the beginning. The beginning of the beginning, everybody agrees she would be Michael. The end of the beginning and the beginning of the end, however you want to phrase it, that's where the machlekes is. And then everybody would agree that the Besoif, after everything is done, that there's no machlekes over there, that she's definitely not Michael. So there's a way to make Rav Dimi and Rabin not argue so that you could have three parts. And again, just redefine what the word Tchila and Besoif means. But that would have been all nice if Rav Avua said that would be a way to make Rav Dimi and Rabin, who are the later Amoraim, not arguing. But we cannot do that because Rav Avua already said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue. And once Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue, and Rabin are quoting them very differently, there's no way to make it work. Because again, according to Rav Dimi, it has to be B'tchila means the beginning of the Chuppah, and that's where they argue. And according to Rabin, the T'chilas Chuppah would now mean that the Tchilas Chuppah would mean where she's definitely Moichel. So it comes out that's one Machlekes. It's another Machlekes Basoif. It comes out that the two edges are going to be a Machlekes between Rav Dimi and Rabin about whether Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan argue. Okay, fine. So this is not to be. So my Kamash Mohan. So what is Rav Papa coming to tell us? Why did Rav Papa say, okay, we already had Rav Avua who explained it to us, and it comes out, so what? So Rav Dimi and Rabin argue. What does that bother us? What's the Chiddush? So the Gemara says like this, a big Yisoid. Ho Kamash Malon, where Rav Papa was coming to tell us like this. The Pligi Trei Amaroi, Ataima Denav Shaihu, Veloi Pligi Trei Amaroi, Aliba Dechad Amoirim. We would much rather Amoroyim have a machloikis in the explanation, so that they explain things differently and they understand things differently, rather than have two Amoroyim arguing within an Amoira. Because, as I said before, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, for this purpose, are going to be considered Amoroyim. So now it comes out that Rav Dimi and Rav Abin are arguing within the Machlokes Amoroyim between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Where did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say it? And where did Rabbi Yochanan say what he was saying? So they come out that they're arguing, they're Amoroyim arguing in an Amoira. And they're not, now what's the problem with arguing within an Amoira as opposed to just arguing in Svara and explanation? The Machlokes is, if there's no way one of them for sure is wrong. Either Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't say what he said, or Rabbi Yochanan didn't say what he was said. So it comes out that one of them has a, so to speak, a wrong Messiah. If they're arguing in what, how to define, if we were able to just, it was a machlekes and how to define Tchila and Saif, and then it would have been very simple. So we say, okay, fine, so this is a different explanation. We can explain Tchila this way, we can explain it that way. But now that we cannot explain Tchila and Saif differently, we know what Tchila and Saif mean. And it comes out that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing, Rabbi Dimi and Rabin are arguing in what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan said. It comes out that they are actually, one of them is misquoting another Amayra. That's why Rabbi Papa was making this point. Again, in this situation, there's nothing we can do about it because Rabbi Avu already said that this is the pshat. But if Rabbi Avu had not said that, I would have been able to explain the Gemara in a way so that that everybody could have been, as Rashi puts it, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. I could have said everybody works. Just to define Seif and Tchila and Seif a little bit differently, and then everybody could be saying the same thing. Okay, so this is the complicated twist over here. You just have to keep track of all the names. But that's the Maskana. So really, Rav Papa made a very strong point. But really, the Maskana Sagamara, it does come out that Rav Dimi and Rabin are arguing in what Rabbi Yochanan and what Rabbi Shulban Levi said. That is, at the end of the day, that's what they're arguing about. What they said, where they said what they said, and it comes out in different scenarios, because again, as I said before, in the Tchila, there's definitely a machlokes whether they argue, and Basoif, there's definitely a machlokes between Rabin and Rav Dimi, whether they argue or not. Okay? So without overcomplicating it, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Zak the next Mishnah, a little bit easier. Noisin lebesula shnei moser chodesh misha tova habal. We give, so of course, nowadays this is not as relevant because nowadays we don't do erisin, we don't do kedushin beforehand. I mean, we do. We only do it a moment beforehand. But in those days they used to get engaged, which we, in the Gemara's terms, engaged was kedushin or erisin. And then they would give them a long period of time to get ready for the chasen of the nisuin. And at that point, the girl was still living with her, you know, with her family, and then eventually they get married and she moves in with the husband. Now, so how long is that period of time? So we say for a basula, we give her 12 months from the time that they started Mishatava, that the husband asked, the chosin asked her to get married. Why? Leparnes es atzma, to get herself ready for the chasana. So it's 12 months to get to her tachsitin, as Rashi, her jewelry and whatever she needs to get ready for the chasana. And the Mishnah continues, so k'shem shenoisin le'isha, the same way we give the woman 12 months, kach noisin le'ish, the parent says, atzmai, we give the man also 12 months to get ready for the chasana, that he can prepare for the su'udah, build a house, or whatever it is that he needs to do. Now this is going to be relevant. We're not going to get into the details of it today so much, but it's going to be relevant because the point is you cannot force either of them to get married beforehand. Okay, afterwards, then it's a different situation. But beforehand, you can't force anybody to do something to accelerate the chuppah. Fine. So we said for a basuli, you get 12 months. Whatever, the same situation for time to get prepared. If it's an almana who's been married before, so she only needs 30 days because supposedly she's put together everything that she needed for the chasana. Now, here's the relevance of what the timing means. Higi yizman v'loy nisu. If the time came, it's 12 months later and they didn't get married, and we'll see in the Gemara is going to say because the husband wasn't ready to get married or didn't want to get married, Aicheles Mishaloi, she can start already eating food from his pocket because he was obligated to get married. Aicheles Betruma, and if she was married to a Kohen at that point, she could already start eating Truma. So it's very important to know that Midah Raisa, obviously a non-Kohen, and if she's not a Bas Kohen, she wasn't allowed to eat Truma till now. And really technically, once they get engaged from Kedushin already, she could eat Truma. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, Midah Rabbanon, they didn't allow her to eat Truma until now. So the Chiddush is that if they, A, she was supposed to be allowed, but we prevented it. Now that they were supposed to really be married, so at this point she could already start eating truma. Rav Tarfon Omer, so now, when she's eating truma, how do you support that? Rav Tarfon Omer, noisin lo hakol truma. Rav Tarfon says the husband can give her, now that she's eating truma, he can give her all, her whole mazon, her whole weekly allowance can be at the value of truma. Rabbi Akiva Omer says no. Mechza chulin, mechza truma. Rabbi Akiva says no. You can only give her half because, very simply, because the truth of the matter is, let's say this continues for a month or 2 months. During that month or 2 months, she's going to be a nida.
Right.
She's going to be tummy,
yes,
and she's not going to be able to eat truma. So it's not how in the world is she? So you have to support her upright. Oh, so your question is why does Rav Tarfon say you don't have to?
Yeah.
So the answer is because Rav Tarfon says I'll give her truma, and then she'll take it and she'll sell it and she'll get other food from that truma. The question is, on who's responsible to allow for that time? Whose responsibility that time that she's tummy and she can't eat truma? They're not married. So if they were married, of course it was the husband. But now that they're not officially married, they're only technically supposed to be married. Excuse me. So who do we put the tircha of selling the truma? Let's say he's a kohen and he has, you know, tons and tons and tons of truma. All he eats is truma because he's a kohen. That's what everybody gives him. That's what he eats off of, right? So is it his responsibility to go out and convert that truma into chulin, or is it her responsibility? That's what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are arguing about. Hayovom ein meichel betruma. So if you have a situation of yibum, which means that obviously they were married, his brother died without any kids, and now she's waiting for the second brother to do yibum. During that period of time, now remember they were not yet married, because if they were actually married, she'd already be eating truma from the fact that they were married. So we're talking about this during the engagement. While it was already kedushin, but then the brother died, and she's waiting to do yibum. That time she cannot eat truma. And the commissioner very much explains this. Also, shisha chadashim b'fnei abal. If she was engaged for 6 months with her husband, the shisha chadashim b'nei ayavim, and then she's waiting, because it's not even yet time for the marriage, and she's waiting another 6 months with the yavim, she certainly doesn't eat truma. V'afilu kulam b'fnei abal. Even if she was like 11 and a half months with the husband, chasur yemechor, or you know, except for one day b'fnei ayavim, he died a day before the chasana, or kulam b'fnei ayavim, or she was married. Or rather, the brother died. The brother died immediately, right after they engaged. Chasur yomechad, like one day later, and chasur yomechad b'fnei abal. But the rest of the time, she was missing one day. She was one day engaged. Ein aichelus b'truma, even though she's waiting for the yavam. And obviously, the point is, and the yavam didn't do yibum yet. If he did yibum, they need to be married. And obviously, he's a kohen. If the first husband's a kohen, the brother has to be a kohen also. So then, she ein aichelus b'truma. Fine. So this is the she doesn't need truma during the yibum period, no matter how long it takes till the yavam comes around. Zu Mishnah Rishayna. This is the way the Tanaim originally used to be noyeg, that she was not allowed to eat truma. Bezdin shel achrein amru, but later on in history, Bezdin changed the halacha and they said like this: Eina isha echelus betruma asher tikanes l'chuppa. No matter how long it takes for them to get married, she cannot eat truma until they actually get married, until they have chuppah. Now the only nafkamina is whether she can eat truma or not. This is not a nafkamina of whether the husband is obligated to support her. Okay, the husband will be obligated to support her after 12 months. That is not what they argue. They only argue as a kayin issue whether she can eat truma. And we'll see the Gemara itself is going to explain what the machlokes is, what changed from the beginning of the end to determine whether or not she can eat truma. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now we're on the top of the second line on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Minani Mili. How do we know that we have a period of time after kedushin until they actually get married? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Krokus, the pasuk says Vayomer Achea. This is by Rivka, right? By Rivka, Vayomer Achea, and her brother said V'ima Teishav Hanare Ima Itanu Yomim Ay Asar. She should be with us for days or 10. My Yomim. Now, what does the word days mean? How long is days? Zilei Matrei Yomi. If the word yamim just means two, because usually we just say the plural is two, a minimum of two. Mishtoi Yinish Hachi. Would a person talk that way? Because what happened was, first they suggested she should be here yamim, and they said no. So Amru Inish Trey Yami Amr Lahu Loi. They said, stay with us 2 days. And he said, no. Amru Loi Asari Yami. And then he says, oh, well, then in that case, let's stay 10 days. That's not the way negotiations work. Usually negotiations work, you go down. You know, you meet in the middle someplace. But it doesn't make sense if they say no. So like, oh, let's make it bigger than what it said the first time. So that's clearly not what Yami means. Elamai Yamim.
Shana.
So the word Yamim in this context means a whole year, which is of course the point that we're trying to get to over here, which is that you wait a year between engagement and getting married. Anyway, so how do we know that the word Yamim means a whole year? Dechsev Yamim Tiye Gulosoi, because we say in the context of that when you're redeeming a field that you sold, you have a year to redeem the field. So yamim tiyeh gulasa, his goyel has up to a year. So it also uses the word yamim in the Torah, and it means a full year. Okay, so that's where we get it from. Ve'machodesh. Now the word yamim, of course, is not exactly defined. So how do you know what it means? A year? Maybe it only means a month. Chsev. And where do we see this? Ad chodesh yamim. So we see that the pasuk sometimes says a month. Chodesh yomim, and it's defining the days as a month. So Amri, so it's either a month or a year. Amri dana yomim stam mi yomim stam. We'd rather compare the word yomim without a definition to the word yomim without a definition. Vein dana yomim stam mi yomim shenemer behem chodesh, as opposed to where the Torah itself has to define the word yomim with the word chodesh. So clearly, if it had to define it as chodesh, so the Torah itself meant over there yomim means chodesh. But in general, yomim can mean without. It means a year. Now, again, we would only say this because the word yomim in the context of geula means a year. For whatever reason, we know that over there it means a year. So once we know that the word yomim could potentially mean a year, we'd rather compare it to yomim without a definition versus yomim with the word chodesh. Okay, so now we've established that there's a year period of time between the engagement and the marriage. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tana. Okay, so now we have to understand who is this referring to, who gets this full year of time. Ketana, when she's a little girl, ben hi uben avi yichel la'akev, that even after they're engaged, she, the girl, is able to say, I'm not ready to get married. And also, it says, even the father is able to say, she is too young to get married. This is talking about while she's still, so let's say she got engaged when she's 10 years old, so a year later she'd still be 11, the father's able to say, no, 11's too young, I want to wait till she's a gedolah. Fine. Or she can say, so now bishlami ihi motzi ma'akva, I understand that she's able to be ma'akev because she's not ready. She's able to say, I don't want to get married yet. Elaviha. But how could the father protest? Ihi nicholeh. If the girl, we're talking about, if the father's protesting, she's okay. If she's willing, avia ma'inafkalei mina. Why does the father care if she gets married? She wants to get married. Isn't to hate. So the Gemara answer is very important. Yisoid, sober, because the father thinks, hashta lo yoda. Because right now she has no clue what's going on. Mamochar mimrida v'nafka. Tomorrow she's going to figure out what's really going on over here. It's like, ah, this is not for me. V'asya v'nafla aloya. She's going to come back and she's going to be the father's problem. So the father's like, I don't want to do this wrong the first time and have to deal with it. I'd rather, let's wait until she's really ready. And then she knows what she's getting into. And then it's not my problem anymore. So I'd rather make it work, because otherwise she's just going to end up back where she started from. And it'll, yeah. So therefore the father has a right to say, understand the situation that she's not ready. Now, on that, the Gemara says even more, Amar Rabbi Abba, Bar Levi, Ein Poiskin Al Katana La Asiya, Kashahi Katana. You can't talk about with a young girl that she should get married even while she's young. Again, so this became the general rule. You don't really, even though the Gemara talks a lot about getting married when she's under 12 and all that stuff, but realistically, Rabbi Abba says that's not the way it goes. We don't even talk about the idea, the notion of a girl getting married kishi katana while she is still to be married while she is still underage. But we could talk about getting married. We could even arrange for the marriage that she will get married when she becomes a gedolah. Again, our definition of gedolah is in our culture is a lot older than their definition of being a gedolah. But fine, we in those halachically certainly, and in those days apparently even a 12-year-old was you know old enough to be busy doing stuff. So therefore, that's not a problem. She can get married when she is over bas mitzvah. Fine. So that's a very important yisoid just to understand. In general, realistically, they didn't get married so much under the age of 12 years old. So pshita. So again, of course, why not? Obviously, we're allowed to talk about getting married when she becomes older. Who cares? So Gemara says, "Mao detemo lechus dilma ma'alya ma'ayla pachta mehashta." You might think that just talking about it when she's a little kid that will scare her off. V'cholsha, and she'll become sick. Kamash malon. That don't worry. That's okay. We can talk about it now. We can talk about it, but you have to understand, which is also a chiddush, because you talk about it to a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old about getting married to this guy who, you know, the butcher, who's in, even if it's in 2 years from now, but the idea for a little girl to understand that she's going to be stuck with this guy might scare her, that, but that's not a problem. We don't have a problem with that. Okay, next. Amar Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna. Bogro yoim echod v'neskacha. Let's say, so till now we've been talking about that she's a basula. Now, supposedly basula, for our purposes, means a naira. Naira, as we know, hopefully at this point in the Masechta, you should know that naira means a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. So this whole business that the Mishnah is saying that you get 12 months is only if she got engaged, kedushin, during that Kufa, during that period of time between 12 and 12 and a half. However, comes along Rav Huna Bagro Yom Echad Veneskacha, once she's already 12 and a half and now she's a Bagares, and now she first gets engaged, Noisin Lo Shloishim Yom Ke Almana. You only give her 30 days, like an Almana. She, at this point, because if she hadn't gotten engaged till now, she should have been busy getting ready anyway, and should, for 6 months would have been enough for her to take care of all her needs. So now she only needs 30 days. So Meisve, but is that really true? It says Bagro Hare Kitoiva Kitoiva Ketavua. Oh, so now it says that once she becomes a Bergeris, she automatically becomes like a girl who is disgusting. This is why I use the word disgusting by Tavas. It's the same word as the Mishnah uses, Taivea. That she is like a girl who's already been asked to get married. Now, what does that mean, been asked? So, my love, Ketavua de Basula. So we see that she's the same as a girl who was under the age of 12 and a half, that she's like a Basula, which would really grant her, at that point, 12 months. Not 30 days. So the Gemara answers, no, like Ketavua d'Almana and a Hanami. That's, so you're just translating it wrong. A Bigeris is like an Almana in the sense that she also at this point is just as ready to get married, and since she's ready to get married, all she really technically needs is 30 days. Okay, so you can go either way. So, again, you can't prove to me one way or another, so the Gemara says, Tashem, I'll bring you a Raya. Bageris shasa shnei maser chodesh. Oh, so here we're talking about a bageris. She waited 12 months, so it seems like it's 12 months. Rabbi Eliezer ha'ol v'chayev bala b'mazaynei seha. Since, again, this is a different halacha, but the point is we're focusing on the timing. Since the husband is now obligated to give her mazaynei, as we said earlier, that after 12 months he has to start chipping in. Yefer, so he's able to be made for her nadarm. Again, this is halacha nadarm, which is not the focus of our Gemara. The focus is the timing. Oh, so we see that it's 12 months. So the Gemara answers, aim a big by Geras Visheshasa Shnei Maaser Chodesh. It's missing a little vav, and that changes the case altogether. A by Geras, immediately, once she's a by Geras, she's already relying on the husband, and also somebody waits 12 months if she had gotten engaged while she was still a Naira. Okay? So it's not really the same case, it's two different cases, and a Bageris, the Bageris case could still be 30 days. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Hoy Lubala Chayv Mizanesera Yefer. So then you're just, again, finishing off the Bais, so that's the case that Rabbi Eliezer said, that he's therefore also to be made for her Nadarm. If he's supporting her, then she also relies on him for Hafar's Nadarm. First Raya. Tashama, let's bring a different Raya. Hama'aris is a Besula, okay, somebody who gets engaged to a Besula, Ben Shatova Habal, Vehima Akva, whether the husband is the one who says, okay, let's get ready, and she says no. Then Shatava he or she says, let's get married, Ubalma Akev, and the husband now is the one who's saying, I'm not ready. We give her 12 months from the moment they said, they already start discussing. So by the way, here you see very clearly that they're not get engaged yet because she said no. So this is just a discussion. Avaloi Mishas Erisin. Okay. And not from Erison. So, in other words, if they first had a discussion on the 1st of the month, and she says no, and then on the 15th of the month, she comes around and says, okay, fine, I agree. So when do you start calculating your 12 months? Not from the 15th when she says yes, but from the 1st when they were already discussing it. That's what the Gemara seems to say, and this is clearly before Kedushin. But that's not the focus that we're focusing on. We're focusing on the next line. Ubogra harehi ketavua. And a boigeris is like a tavua. So, and we just said about a tavua that you get 12 months. It's a question of when, how do you calculate what was the beginning of the question of the tavia, when was the beginning of the discussion, fine, but it still gets 12 months, and a boigeris should, based on that, also be immediately 12 months. Ketzad, as the Baisa continues and says, Bagro yoim echad viniskacha. So therefore, she's a begaris even one day, and after Begaris, noisin lo shnei maser chodesh. we give her 12 months. So this braisa clearly says that even a bageres gets 12 months. Ula arusa shloishim yoy. And an arusa, if she's already engaged as a bageres, then she gets 30 days. So if there's an immediate engagement, then they get 30 days. But we see very clearly that even a bageres gets 12 months, and tiyufta de Rav Huna tiyufta. Okay, so Rav Huna that said that a bageres, once she becomes 12 and a half, she immediately becomes ready, and she only needs 30 days. That's not really true. According to this braisa, it's very clear that even a bageres gets, from the yom tviya, she gets a full 12 months. Now, the problem is that the braisa then concludes, that braisa that we just quoted and used as a proof, concludes, it says an arusa gets 30 days. Now, maila arusa shloshim yom. So then when's the scenario that you ever get 30 days? If we said everybody is entitled to 12 months, so when's the 30-day case? Amar papa hachi ka'amar bageres sha'avru ala shnei masar chedesh bebagros. It's in a case where she's already 12 months after she's 12 and a half. In other words, she is 13 and a half years old. Now, v'neskatsha, if she gets engaged, noisim lo shloishim yoyim ka'amana. Now she gets 30 days. So the statement that Rav Huna made is not entirely incorrect. It was just misapplied. It is true that once you're a bageres, you only get 30 days. But that's only after 12 months of being a bageres. It's not immediately when you, it's not the day you turn to be a bageres. So basically you owe, the shortest period of time after your bageres is 12, well, it depends. If you got engaged beforehand, so you get 12 months from when you get engaged. But once you're a bageres, you get a minimum of 12 months. And if after 12 months, then already you get only 30 days after that. Okay. Now let's go back into the next point of the Mishnah. The next point of the Mishnah was that if they were supposed to get married on a certain date, on a date certain, they get now, the husband has to start supporting her. And it's a question of the truma. And it's a machlokes between Rav Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, as we saw, whether the husband can pay an old truma, a half truma. But the point is, and then we said no. And then later we said Mishnah Achreina said, can't get any truma. So it seems to be a big issue about whether or not she can start eating truma during the engagement. So let's define that a little bit. Amar ulo dvar teira arusa bas yisrael lecheles b'truma. Really, the halacha is, and again, this is very important to realize, midaraisa, the moment she gets engaged to a kohen, a kedushin to a kohen, she immediately is permitted to eat truma shenemar, because it says v'kohen ki yikna nefesh, when he gets somebody, and he did, he gave her the kedushin, he paid for it. So therefore, kinyan kasbay, v'hainami kinyan kasbayhu, and this is also a case of Kenyan Kaspay. This is something that he acquired. That it's part of his, you know, part of his establishment. In any event, the point is midaraisa, she can eat truma. That's the bottom. That's the basics. Midaraisa, she can eat. Now, my tam omru enocheles. Now, why is it that the chamim did not allow her to eat truma? Shema yim zagla kois bebeis avia v'tashka la'achela choiso. The problem is that if he's going to give her truma, remember, for the next 12 months, she's going to be living in her own house, in her father's house, and she's going to be living with her family. So the problem is that she's going to be, what?
Things get mixed up.
Right, things are going to get mixed up, and she's going to end up giving her brother, you know, she has an extra chocolate bar, she's going to give it to her brother and sister to share with her. That's because she's a nice little girl, which is fine. And the problem is that they're not allowed to eat truma. So it's going to end up messing up everybody else, so therefore we don't allow her to eat truma also. So the Gemara says, so that I don't understand. So how does, after 12 months, in the Mishnah Rishonah, how did they allow her to eat truma after 12 months? The point is she's still living with her father. So the Gemara answers, over there, obviously, I have to set a place for her, that's where she could eat the truma, not anywhere else, and therefore she's not intermingling with the rest of the family, so it's not a problem of confusion. Okay, so now we're saying that once you set aside a separate place, it's not a problem. So, Alameata, look at Kayan Li Yisrael. Let's say you have a Kayan who needs to go to work, and he starts working as a sharecropper for a Yisrael. Loy Lecho Betruma, the Kayan is not allowed to eat Truma. Now, he's the worker. He's the employee. He's not allowed it. Why? Because Dilma also Lecho Bahadeh, because maybe the employer, the owner, is going to come and start eating with him, and he's going to end up eating his truma. So we say, no bringing truma to work, right? You know, like they put up these signs, no bringing outside food into the establishment. Kohen can't bring truma. Now the Gemara says, Hashta mididu safalei mididei achli. I don't understand. The owner is the one that's feeding him. So why is he going to, why are we afraid that the Kohen is going to give the owner? Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Mishum, sorry. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Am. Sorry, the Gemara says. The Gemara says no, that's not true. Hashta medidei safu medidei achli. So if he's being supported, he's not likely to give the Yisrael food. So therefore the Gemara is saying it's not going to be a problem. So far we saw that.
No terrors to that.
The difference is as follows. The question is why by the girl? Right, I didn't put it together. Why by the girl do we say don't worry about it? We'll just put her off to the side, so she.
Well, I hear you.
She's okay to eat truma, or the other way around. From the girl, we're saying right. She's okay to eat truma after the 12 months, but the worker we say is never able to eat truma. So the difference is that by the worker is different because they're feeding him, and therefore, 1 second. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Simfon. So till now we said that the reason why she can't eat truma while they're engaged is because she might feed her brothers and sisters. And Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says no. The reason is because she might Simfon. There might be a problem. He might find a moment. Might be that they unwind the entire engagement. And if they unwind the entire engagement, that means she was never really allowed to eat it in the first. It's first place. It's a mekach tois. So if it's a mekach tois, so then you don't have to, right? It's a mekach tois, so then that's a big problem because then she was not allowed to eat the truma. So how did we, so we can't allow that to happen. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if your reason is that we're worried that they were never really married in the first place, nichaso the chuppah v'loi nivalo nami. So even if they went to a chuppah, well, the halacha is that once they go to chuppah, she's allowed to eat truma for sure. So why? Maybe it's going to turn out to be a mekach tois. So the Gemara answers, Hasa Mivdak Badik La Bahadimayal. The answer is because once they go to the chuppah, even if before the bia, he already knows what he's doing, he already knows the situation, and there's no longer a concern of Mekach Tois. So there's no longer a concern of Mekach Tois, even if they haven't consummated the marriage, but that's enough to know that it's no backsies, no tracksies type of thing. It's too late, so there should be no problem. Elamayato, Eved Koyin Shalokach Mi Yisrael Loy Lecho Betruma, Mishum Simfon. So now, when you, a koyein buys a slave. Now, generally, the halacha is when you buy a slave, your slave is considered your kinyan kasboy. So your slaves, the koyein slaves, are allowed to eat truma just like the koyein himself. Now, when he buys a slave from another Yisrael, why do we allow him to eat truma right away? Maybe it's going to be a mekach tois. So the Gemara answers, simfon ba'avodim leka. There's no issue here. We're not concerned. It doesn't really happen that there's a mekach tois. Why? Di idavroi kachazile. If there's an outward mum, he's missing a hand or something, you saw it and you bought it, so you can't claim mekach tois. Vi de gavoi, and if it's something inside that he can't see, lil malacha kaboi, it's I just want him to do the work. And if he's doing the work, I don't care if he has blisters on his stomach. Who cares? Fine. The shebeseser loyich b'sleyas. The Gemara says if it's hidden, I don't care. He's going to do his work regardless. So I don't care about it. Nimsa ganev oy kabostius. If it turns out that this ebed is terrible because he steals from everybody, or kabostius as Rashi, as famous machlekas Rashi Tosfos over here, what kabostius means? Rashi says it means that he's in the ransom business. He steals people, and according to Tosfos, it means he's a gambler. So the ebed is just not an upstanding citizen. So he says, now on the top of Nun Chesam Adal, if it's too bad, it's your problem, the buyer, purchaser beware, you should know that that's expected to happen. So, and therefore that's also not a Mekach Tois, because you should expect that the slave is going to be that way. Ma'ika, I'm just going to do two lines to the two dots. Ma'ika, so what else is there possible? Listim, Mizuyim, or Muchtav Lamalchus, maybe this guy is like an armed robber, he's like the worst of the worst, or he's already the king decided they're going to kill him, and therefore he has no value. He says, Hanakala Islu, those you'd know about it. So again, you can never claim a Mekach Tois, you should have known about it. Anyway. Okay, so that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that by an Eved there's no concept of Simfon. So finally the Gemara finishes off like this. Michti. Ben Lamar, Loy Ochlo. So whether the reason is because of she's going to share with her family or because there might be a Mekach Tois, she's not going to eat from Truma. My Benau, what's the difference what the reason is? So the Gemara says, Ika Benau, Kibol, Masav Ahalach. So the way Rashi learns is that Kibol is one reason and Masav Ahalach is a second reason. So according to Rashi, there's two Nafkaminas. One is Kibol is that he says, I don't care what she looks like, even if she has a mum, I'm going to accept it. So that eliminates the Simfon issue. There's still a problem that she's living with her parents. So that's one nafkamina. And the other way is Masav HaHolech, where he already gave her over to the husband to bring her to the marriage. So now she's no longer with the family. So that eliminates that problem. But there's still a problem because the husband hasn't seen her yet, and there might be a Mekach Tois. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Those are the two reasons why, even though mid Araisa you're allowed to eat Truma, when you're already engaged, we don't allow it until they actually get married. Okay, we'll start over here.